Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friend. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And I want to welcome you to today's program. It's going to be a very, very special program. We're going to look into the scriptures. If you've been watching the news lately, and it's pretty much impossible that anyone that listens to this program is not familiar with current events, but in the past several days, chaos has erupted in America. Well, I guess I need to qualify that. A deeper, darker, more horrible chaos has erupted in America in the last few days. The light over this country has grown dim. And as the darkness increases over this country, we're going to see more and more heinous and horrible events take place. In the last few days, we had a shooting in Pittsburgh. 11 people died at a synagogue. We also saw the bombs that were sent out to several politicians. And today I want to talk about it because in addition to these news events, there's also something else taking place. And it concerns all of you that are listening. And because it concerns you, I want to ask that you please listen to this program in its entirety because I'm going to share some things about the present weather. We're going to look into the scriptures. It prophesied about what we're seeing right now. And the things that are taking place at the moment are going to affect lives all over the world. If you live in America, they are especially going to affect you because you're a resident of Babylon. And in addition to the political developments and the societal developments or the societal deterioration, there's something else taking place in the invisible realm where we can't see. But the darkness that is coming over this land is bringing with it a very dark, satanic fog. A disease, an epidemic of evil is coming with the darkness. And as that darkness flows over the land from east to west, as it goes over the Rocky Mountains, as it covers Texas and the northern parts of the country, the darkness is bringing with it demonic entities that are affecting people. Now, this was all prophesied in the Bible. Jesus told us about it. We can find it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And the thing that's taking place right now is going to wreak havoc on the church, on God's remnant, and on those who are just warming the pews. So whether someone is a bench warmer in church or if they are an on-fire remnant person after God's heart, it's going to affect them as well. So no matter where you are on the spectrum of victory in your Christianity and your walk with Jesus, the events taking place are going to affect you, my friends. So I'm going to talk about it, and I want to ask you to please focus and make it a point to listen to this message with effort. Take notes, get your Bible, listen to it several times. I'm going to go into a lot of scriptures, and I'm going to explain some things that are happening now and that are approaching. I'm going to explain some things that you may already be experiencing, or I want to bring this message as a warning that you may be experiencing in the future. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I can't stress it enough. This message is so important, and here's why. Because the attack of evil that is coming with the darkness that's coming on shore over America is going to try its best, depending on where you are with God. It's going to try to either deceive you, it's going to try to smother you with a blindness and a stupor so that you fall into the delusion that is over the land. There is a delusion, a spiritual evil delusion taking place, and it's going to try to lobotomize you spiritually. If it cannot delude you and cause you to be deceived, it's going to do something else. And here's why it's important that I tell you this, folks, that we talk about this. It's going to try to get you to become depressed, oppressed, distraught, sad, and even suicidal. The darkness that is coming over the land wants you to kill yourself. I'm speaking to the remnant of God right now. I've been seeking God about this. I've been looking into the scriptures. I have spoken to the brethren. I've spoken to some close friends that are seasoned in the Word of God, and they're noticing the same thing. I talked to another friend on the phone just yesterday. He told me the same thing. He has spoken to people that are suicidal. He's receiving emails from people that are suicidal. I am receiving emails from people that are suicidal. I'm receiving private messages. This thing is not normal, ladies and gentlemen. There is a spirit that is bringing with it a blanket. It's a perilous blanket of darkness that brings with it an emotional burden and a spiritual burden and a soul burden to crush God's people. It wants to crush you. It wants to crush your husband or your wife if you're married, your loved ones, your friends, your family. It wants to crush those who love God. And if you love Jesus, if you're a member of his elect, if you are trying to walk in holiness, if you're following Jesus as your shepherd, if you're trying to stay awake in the light, then there are demonic entities that want to crush you. And a lot of people are confused right now. They don't know what's going on. Some people are being blindsided by it. They weren't expecting it. They don't know what to make of it. But this thing is so strong, folks. We have to talk about it. We have to equip ourselves. I want to see you get equipped in a manner that is able to face these things that I'm talking about. So please get your Bible, get a pen and paper, and take notes. Listen to this message several times. And if you know somebody, brethren of the faith, who are struggling right now emotionally in their soul and in their walk, they don't understand what's going on, but they're experiencing something that they've never faced before, and you know about it, please share this message with them. Because for some people, this is a matter of life and death, whether or not they succumb to the spirit of suicide. There is a spirit of suicide in the air right now. And you need to know about it because it may, at some point, attack you. And if it doesn't attack you, it may attack your loved ones. So we need to do all we can to be aware of it and to be able to face it biblically with the weapons, with the tools, with the faith that God has provided for us. Now, if some of you have been Christians long enough, there's a chance that you grew up, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, with the narrative created by Hal Lindsey. And the narrative at that time was, there's signs taking place in Israel, or there are signs taking place with some politician rising up. And then the rapture happens, and then the tribulation starts, and it's downhill from there. But until the narrative gets to the trigger that begins the tribulation, leading up to that, the events that lead up to the rapture in the old model didn't really describe the atmosphere that would be taking place in America, in the air, in Europe, around the world. It didn't describe the atmosphere of challenge, of chaos, of madness or insanity that would be taking place before the rapture. Now, I am not pre-trib in my belief because I don't find that in scripture. I used to be. When I was first saved, I was pre-trib. But the whole time that I went to church, I grew up attending an Assembly of God church. I got saved at 17 in Pasadena, Texas. I attended an Assembly of God church, and then I went to Assembly of God Bible College in Waxahachie, Texas. And then I switched over to Christ for the Nations Institute in Dallas, Texas. Some of you are familiar with those schools. They were good schools at the time when I attended. Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled. It was a great place for me to learn and to add to my knowledge. It was a good place to start. But that was in the 80s. Since then, for the remainder of the 80s and into the 90s, there was always something in the back of my mind, in my heart, in my spirit, that told me that the pre-trib rapture had some holes in it, that it didn't make sense. And I noticed that. I noticed that when I read Matthew 24, it goes through all of the description. Jesus talks about the wars, the doom, the tribulation, the deception, all of that. It really gets scary as he's describing it. And then at the very end of Matthew 24, he says, then the Son of Man will come after the tribulation of those days. He's going to gather everyone from the four winds. So when you even in Matthew 24, the pre-trib rapture is not in Matthew 24. So I struggled with this and I wanted to understand it. So for years and years, through the 90s, and then the new millennium came, I knew in my heart of hearts that something was missing, that the pre-trib rapture was not complete. So I continued digging, and then finally I understood it. It's in Revelation chapter 14. It says, the Son of Man was in the cloud, took a sickle, and he harvested the earth. Revelation 14. And then in Revelation 15, the bowl judgments start. The wrath, the vials. So the gathering of Jesus takes place before the vials, the bowl judgments, but everything previous, since it happens in Revelation 14, that means that the seals and the trumpets take place with Christians on earth. That's the Bible, folks. That's what I find. And now it's been about 15 years I have begun understanding this. 15 years. Now, I'm sure some of you out there may disagree with what I'm saying. And that's okay. That's okay if you disagree with me. I still believe Jesus is coming back. And if I have it wrong, then hopefully the Holy Spirit will set me straight. But so far, the rapture's in Revelation 14. It's there, folks. Look it up yourself. It's there. It's amazing how it describes the Son of Man in the clouds, took the sickle, harvested the earth in the clouds. That verse goes along with what Paul said about the rapture. For we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. You go to Revelation 14, the archangel tells him, harvest the earth. Paul says, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them, where? In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Revelation 14, Jesus is standing in the clouds with a sickle. So we can't argue with the Bible, folks. The philosophies of men want to confuse this. They want to do biblical gymnastics, but that's not fair to integrity. That's not fair to the truth. It's there in the scriptures, Revelation 14, before the wrath, the vials. Now, in the past, people would say, we're not subject to wrath, Nathan. So that's true. We are not appointed to wrath. That's why in Revelation 14, it happens before the wrath that happens in Revelation 15. So when does the rapture happen? The gathering? I choose to call it the harvest or the gathering because that's what Jesus calls it. It occurs before the wrath of God in Revelation 15. So when we put this on the table, as I present and look at how the gathering is going to take place, then the question must be asked, all right, if we're going to be here until Revelation 14, what's before it? What is taking place before it? And when we start looking into Revelation, folks, we see that there's a period of time. It explains, by the way, there's a season that the church is going to undergo a trial. The church will undergo temptation, testing, persecution, sifting, refining, threshing, and an old-fashioned bout with themselves, with their flesh, with their souls, with the world. The church must go through refining. The refiner's fire. We must, my friends. If you are part of the elect of God, if Jesus lives in your heart, if you've been washed in the blood, God chose, he appointed a time that we would be here until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled, and the fulfilling part, the very end of our visitation on earth, will happen with the bride getting ready. The bride must have on her wedding garments, white and clean, without wrinkle. To get there, the church must be tried in the fire to become golden for God. And when we look at this narrative, that means that we're going to have to face perilous times. Perilous times, my friends. Now, if you have your Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, can you get your Bibles, folks? I want to read this. 2 Timothy 3, 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, in the past, you've read this. You've heard sermons about it. And for the most part, the majority of Christians, when they read this, interpreted this passage as a description of people's attitudes. Because it does describe that. The attitudes of people. But not only that, it also describes the deterioration of the hearts of men. And if it describes a deterioration of the hearts of men, then we need to ask, why are men deteriorating? Is it something they ate? Is it a new political belief? Is it what they were taught in school? Was it indoctrination? What was it? Let me read this first, and then we're going to look into some original meanings. But in verse 1, it says, know this, in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. Now, to the person reading this saying, well, that's how it's always been, Nathan. People have always been that way. That's true. The world has always been this way, but not the church. Not Christians. Not people who say they follow Jesus. Well, how do you know it's talking about Christians? Because it says it. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. This is talking about the church, folks. Christians. And from such people turn away. I have watched a deterioration of sanity that used to exist in the evangelical community to the point where the representative of this movement, the Make America Great movement, regularly promotes all of these things I just read. He does. And the people cheer and clap. Now, if you have a problem with what I'm saying right now, it still doesn't take away, and I say that often. You can have a problem with me, but I'm still describing. I am shining a light on it, folks. For someone to make fun of or call someone else names from a microphone, and they're supposed to be the leader of a country, and then to have the audience clap and agree with words like that. You know, Trump was in Montana the other day, and he said that's good that that candidate roughed up his opposition, you know, shoved him around. That's good. And the people clapped. So we have that taking place before our eyes. You've watched and witnessed all this. And some of you have scratched your head and asked the question, why is this happening? I have an explanation of what's going on. I'm going to talk about it today. It has to do with this passage of scripture that I just read and a lot of other scriptures, but this passage tells us why it's taking place, and it's in verse 1. It says, perilous times will come. Now, I want to focus on the word perilous. That word perilous, it's from the Greek word chalepos. C-H-A-L-E-P-O-S. Chalepos. And that word means fierce, savagery, harsh, evil. Fierce, evil. So if we were to reword verse 1, paraphrase it, it would read, know this, that in the last days, fierce, evil, savage days would come. Times of savagery would come. And if you look at that word, chalepos, there's only two verses that it is found in the scriptures. Only two. The other place that it's found is in Matthew 8:28. And this is real interesting. Watch this. Remember the account of when Jesus arrives in that town where the demon-possessed guy who said he had legion inside of him, the Gergesene demoniac, it's a fancy word. Gergesene, that's the town. And there was a graveyard outside the town. And there was this crazy man who was demon-possessed. He wouldn't even keep his clothes on. He ripped off his clothes all the time. They tried to put him in chains and bind him. He'd break the chains. Iron shackles were nothing to this guy because he had 1,000 demons in him or more. He said legion. If you look up the word legion, depending on where you read it, the number of how many are in a legion differs, but it's a lot. A Roman legion, some people say it could be as much as several thousand demons. And imagine this, folks. One guy having 1,000 demons or more. You have some people that have to deal with spiritual deliverance. They might have a spirit cast out here and there, one spirit. This guy had thousands. And it says in Matthew 8:28 that when Jesus arrived there, there was a man who slept in tombs. He walked around the graveyard who was exceedingly fierce so that no man could pass. He was fierce. That word fierce is the same one as perilous. He was exceedingly savage, harsh, grievous to everybody because all of these demons lived inside of him. So the description, perilous, is associated with demon possession, with evil demon activity, demonic activity, demonic, fierce, evil, troublesome, harsh, grievous activity. And this demon man was a shadow of the end time launch of the hellion creatures that are now ravaging the top side of earth. and the top side of America. Now, my friends, consider this. Think about this. The Bible tells us, 2 Timothy 3:1, but know this. That's how Paul says it. Know this. Be aware of this, my brethren. Be knowledgeable about this. Don't forget. Don't know about this casually. Know, understand, and be wise about it. In the last days, demonic, harsh, oppressive times will come. Now, this is the word of God, folks. The days would come where demons would be allowed to wander the earth, to walk around America, and wreak havoc on the sons of men. Now, when we put this into the context of demonic creatures, and see, in the introduction, I shared that we're going to look into the invisible realm, because this is one of the biggest challenges that you're not going to hear most pastors talk about this, because in their eyes, America is great. There's been a reprieve. Judgment has been stalled. The end times have been stalled. The New World Order is under attack. You know, all that stuff. Those lies that the people out there are sharing, brainwashing others with. Contrary to those claims, contrary to the claims by the firemen that America is going to be repaid sevenfold and, you know, go out there and take back and plunder the world. Contrary to the claims that Trump is Cyrus or David or Samson or John the Baptist or any of that. Contrary to that, ladies and gentlemen, I present the scriptures. And 2 Timothy 3:1 says, know this. So if you know this, if you have it in your heart, if you hide it in your heart, if you hide it in your soul, if you hide it in your faith to know this, then it creates and requires that we process news developments in a different manner, that we understand political maneuverings and manipulations and developments in a different manner. Know this, that in the last days, evil, perilous times would arrive, which includes demonic creatures wandering your neighborhood, the airwaves, your town, your city, the neighboring village. Know this. We have to know it, folks. Not just hear it, we must know it. And if we know it, and we put what we're watching take place right now in the context of this activity, then look at the rest of the verses. Perilous, evil, demonic creatures are going to roam the earth. Perilous times are going to come. And then people are going to behave a certain way. And then we start reading about it's Donald Trump's resume. But it's not Donald Trump that's doing this. It's spirits that are influencing him. And I'll say it, folks. Donald Trump is under the influence. I've said it before. He's under the control and influence of very, very, very powerful demons and principalities. He's possessed. He's not normal. When someone becomes possessed by evil, they go insane. Their thoughts are not congruent. They're not clear. There's no clarity in their thinking, in their presentation, in their words. But when someone is demon-possessed, there's great confusion. There's confusion. They speak with all caps. They speak with inflammatory words. They speak with hatred. Know this, in the last days, perilous times would come. Now, 20, 30 years ago, when we were learning about the end times, I remember I sat in Wednesday night Bible study at my Assembly of God church where I went when I was 18, 19 years old in Texas. And we would have a Bible study on Wednesday night. By the way, you remember that, folks, when churches actually had their doors open in the middle of the week and you could go and get recharged in the middle of the week? That was great. Not anymore, but we used to do that. And the pastor, God bless his soul, would teach us about the end times. We learned about how in the end times, Satan was going to be loosed on the earth. So we heard about it. Satan would be loosed at some point. But I don't think a lot of us computed what that meant. I don't think a lot of us processed what that meant. I didn't. Well, how could we? We weren't there. How could we have described and understood how dark it was going to be 30 years later today, the way we're watching? There's no way we could have. Right, folks? But now it's here. So now that it's here, we need to know that we understand it, as Paul just read. Why? Because these demons that have been let loose on the earth, and by the way, I have other verses to prove that this is going on. In fact, let me just pause right here to tell you. It says in Revelation 18:2, verse 2, that Babylon has become a prison and a cage for every demon and unclean bird. Birds are, that's a metaphoric description of demonic creatures. You know, you go into the Old Testament in Isaiah, it describes the owl as a bird, unclean bird. And the word for owl is Lilith, L-I-L-E-T-H, is a demonic spirit. So the translators, I don't know why they changed it to owl, but it's Lilith in the original. So unclean birds are also associated with demonic creatures, and that's what it's talking about. Babylon would become a prison for every demon and every kind of unclean and hateful bird. Hateful demons. These birds are demons. So these spirits, when they come to Babylon in the end times, would not only just walk around and whisper into someone's ear, hey, steal a candy bar, or hey, get in a fight with your wife, or hey, talk back to the teacher. No, 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 no. These demon creatures want blood. They want fisticuffs. They want people in the hospital. They have hate. They want bullying to take place to the point where people kill themselves or go shoot up a school or a workplace or a synagogue or a church or whatever hasn't taken place yet or that has. A lot more is coming in those shootings. You know, it says in 18:2 of Revelation, Babylon has become a prison. So these demon creatures have migrated to Babylon, America, and now they're here. They've been migrating for a few years now. I stated in 2012 that we had turned a corner during Obama's administration when he was inaugurated for the second term. I talked about the principality Nurgle, who came through a portal. We went into how it happened, why it happened, and what it meant. So this migration has been taking place for a few years now. It says hateful birds. Every unclean and hateful bird. That's Revelation 18:2. Folks, the stats prove this. America has more murders, more shootings, more active shooter scenarios than any other country in the world. You know, great America, MAGA, America, make America great. You know, the description by these dominionists out there, these NAR, dominionist Christians, who say America's great and everything's good. You know, next time one tells you that America is full of blessing, ask them, why do we have the most active shooters in the world? Why? Why are there so many angry people in America, out of the whole world? In America, you got regular folks that hate each other. You have road rage. You have domestic abuse. You have murder, our murder rate. We have more people in prison than any other country in the world. America's prison population is larger than China's and Russia's. Why? Because America, Babylon, is infected with demonic creatures. It says in Revelation 18:2, it has become a prison for demons. And hateful bird demons, creatures. So people in America are being influenced and ravaged with perilous demons, as I just read, 2 Timothy 3:1, perilous. These perilous creatures are wreaking havoc on the citizens of America. Not just non-Christians, but the church. So demon creatures have come here. And that's why I'm saying know this, my friend. Know this. Because these demons have a mandate. They have instructions. They have orders. They have been brought here with an assignment. And these orders, this mandate, is information that you need to know about. If you're a father, if you're a husband, if you are a priest over a house, if God has entrusted you with people under you, with family members and loved ones, for you to cover as a priest, you need to know about this. This needs to be your number one priority, this knowledge. And acting on it needs to be your priority. Because these demons have a mandate, and that mandate is focused on your defeat, your destruction, your death, my friend. They want to kill you. They want to kill your family, your loved one, your spouse. And if they can't kill you through someone else, they want you to kill yourself. Nathan, this is heavy duty. I know it is, folks. But this is where we are. We have entered a chapter of such great darkness that unless we had the mercy and the help of God, the covering of God, it's going to drive people insane. Because we're just getting started, folks. The darkness is going to get way worse. The episodes, the active shooters, the bombings, the crime, the criminal elements, the assassinations, the madness is going to increase. We are just getting started. You know, people want to blame it on MKUltra. That guy's a Manchurian. He was trained in some lab or something. Folks, aside from the active shooters that make the national headlines, there are others that are doing crazy things. And those people were not influenced in an MKUltra lab. They weren't given drugs by a CIA puppet master. These people are being influenced by Satan because satanic creatures are walking amongst us. And as a matter of survival, as a matter of your endurance, as a matter of your soul survival and your spiritual survival, this information is pertinent to know. It is so important, my friend. Know this. We have to know it, folks. I can't stress this enough. The demon creatures that are in America now have a mandate. Their mandate is hideous, it's imposing, and it's just old-fashioned scary. And the Christians that aren't aware of this, the Christians that aren't aware of what time it is that this is going on, are going to be hindered from finding victory because they're not going to know what they're battling against. They're not going to know why it's happening and taking place. And if someone doesn't know what's going on, they're not able to find it in the scriptures, then there's a very high probability that it's going to cause what we read in the scriptures. And then that's found in Isaiah chapter 8. If you have your Bible, turn there. And by the way, you should have your Bible so that you can circle and highlight and make notes so that you don't forget this. Isaiah 8:12, and do not say a conspiracy concerning all this people. Call in conspiracy. You know, that's one of the most popular excuses or topics. If you throw conspiracy in front of someone, people sit down and say, okay, teach me. I'm taking notes. Oh, you want me to watch this five-hour YouTube about a conspiracy? Yeah, I'm there. But you try to show some people a Bible study about the end times, and they don't have time for it. You try to show people a study about the human condition of our soul and our spirit and the need for God and what sin does and how our behavior will send us to hell. They don't want to hear it. But you talk about conspiracy, they're all over it. That's the juicy topic, conspiracy. Where right here it says, do not say a conspiracy concerning all the people. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. That means fear. That means respect. God is the one, not a conspiracy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. He will be a sanctuary. He will be as a sanctuary. Why, folks? Because we need him as a protection. He needs to be the one that we seek. He needs to be our dwelling place, our secret place, our shelter, our secret chamber. Go down to verse 19. Look what it says here. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people instead seek their God? You know, right now, folks, we have these false prophets with a word from the Lord, Mark Taylor. The Spirit of the Lord says, that's how he starts his messages. The Spirit of Baal says, that's what the truth of the matter is, because his prophecies are not from God. They're not. They are unholy words of poison that are bringing people to ruin, expecting things that will never take place. Verse 19, and when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, when the people say to you, go watch the Trump prophecy movie, when the people say to you, go hear Mark Taylor at this YouTube channel, go hear him being interviewed by this person, this watchman, this preacher, this radio host, this whoever, should not the people instead seek their God instead of Mark Taylor, folks? Yes, they should. Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? You know, QAnon is one of the other clerics, even though he's anonymous. He, they, it, them, whatever QAnon is. It's fake. It's a fraud. It's false. But QAnon on their web board, 4chan, 8chan, you know, they move around. They posted a prayer to the spirit of John F. Kennedy. They prayed to the dead. QAnon did. How can Christians follow? How can they follow and promote someone who prays to John F. Kennedy's dead ghost? How do you do that? And why doesn't one of them say, you know, if you follow QAnon, my friend, right there, what I just told you should answer the question of it's of God. If you wonder, well, they're a good patriot. They're trying to help. Right there, since they are acting like wizards and lying to you and then praying to John F. Kennedy, should answer the question of whether it's of God. Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? Isaiah asks. Verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word. Now, folks, watch this. This is the word of God. If the people you're listening to do not speak according to the word, that means everything they say needs to be backed up with scripture. If they influence people to participate in something that's not of God, then that answers the question. And if they don't speak according to God's word, it is because there's no light in them. There's no light in QAnon. There is no light in the word of Mark Taylor or Lance Wownow or Jim Baker and all those people that he has. There's no light. And if there's no light in somebody, and their eyes and their spirit, what will happen? Now, folks, any Boy Scout knows this. Any Girl Scout knows this. Any 5-year-old kid knows this. If you go outside when it's dark and there's no light, they're not going to be able to see and they're going to stumble and fall over. A child knows this. A 5-year-old child, if you say, go outside and get me this or that, go right outside on the porch and bring back something, they'll say, can I have a flashlight or will you turn on the light or will you go with me? That's what a child would say, right? Because they're smart. Faith of a child. From the mouths of babes. A child knows that you need a light in the dark. But if a believer thinks that they can follow someone that has no light in them, what will happen? Well, here's what's going to happen. Look at verse 21. They will pass through the darkness because they don't have a light. Hard pressed, hungry, spiritually hungry, and it shall happen. Now watch this, folks. When they are hungry, that they will be enraged, mad, angry, and curse their king and curse their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness and gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, right now over America is darkness, spiritual darkness. It was many years ago, I had a prophetic dream where I was standing looking to the horizon and the clouds gathered. They were approaching from the horizon, dark black clouds, and then the sky was almost black, and then drips started coming out of the black clouds, like honey, like molasses. Hundreds of drips. And these drips weren't tiny drips. Each drip was as big as a bus. And it came out in slow motion, very slow, like molasses would or honey would drip off a spoon. And it dripped, and it got longer and longer, and then it disconnected from the cloud and flowed down toward the ground in slow motion. And when it hit the ground, there was a large explosion, and the ground shook. This happened with every drop. There were hundreds and hundreds of these drips. And the drips were black, by the way. When they hit the ground would shake. I struggled to stand. And then a whirlwind rose up out of the ground where they struck the ground. Black tornadoes then covered everywhere I saw. Hundreds and hundreds of them. And they went off. They spun along the ground and they destroyed everything. The trees were shattered. Grass was lifted up. It was just mud and debris and rocks. I asked the Lord, what is this? This is years ago. And I've shared it on my programs since then. And the Holy Spirit said, darkness is coming to America and it's going to wreak havoc. It's going to bring a storm, a whirlwind of darkness and destruction and chaos. And I have been expecting it in my heart that this was coming. That's why when Mark Taylor showed up and started saying that it's going to be bright and shiny, I said, no, it's not. I didn't get that memo. That's not of the Lord. It's not. And it goes against what I just read in Isaiah. It goes against what we read in Revelation 18:2 about the prison of demons. It goes against what we just read in 2 Timothy. Darkness is now here, folks. Perilous times. We are in a season of great darkness. Now, does that just mean that natural catastrophes are going to happen? Is that what it's limited to? No. Which, by the way, that is included. Catastrophes, storms, flooding. That's happening now. I don't have to prove that one. But it also includes the demonic elements. And this is the part, ladies and gentlemen, that we cannot miss. In addition to the darkness coming, the darkness has stowaways. It has creatures that have come in with the darkness because of the migration into Babylon. That's the season that we're in. And when we look, you know, I mentioned up until the time of the gathering of Revelation 14 when Jesus harvests the earth. When we go backwards in Revelation, there's a lot of weird stuff taking place. Now, up to this point, we have not had the mark of the beast introduced. We have not officially seen the Antichrist rise up, although I have my suspicion that it's Donald Trump. Now, officially, I am not saying it's him yet because there are some other signs I'm looking for. I'm not talking about them publicly yet. But there are some signs that I'm looking at. So there's a lot of things that we need to be having on the table if we're students of prophecy, if we're looking at the end times, if we're doing it scholastically with intellectual honesty, with the scholarly approach as a Berean. We place it on the table. We look for proof. We find witnesses that prove it. And then we go with it. Or we wonder about it. We wonder. We ponder it. So there are some events that are coming that are going to take place that I'm looking for. But one of the big ones, folks, is one that we're not talking about. And I want to talk about it right now. In Revelation chapter 13, turn there, please. I was standing on the sand of the sea. I saw the beast rise up. 7 heads, 10 horns. You know this. You've read it. Heard about it. We've talked about it a gazillion times. It describes the beast. It was like a leopard, had the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion. This is a kingdom. Daniel 7 tells us the fourth beast is a fourth kingdom. So this is a kingdom. And the devil, the dragon, gave him his power and his throne. So gave this end time kingdom his authority. And I saw one of the heads as it had been mortally wounded. His deadly wound was healed. So all the world marveled and followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who's able to make war with him? Verse 5, and he was given a mouth to speak great things. Now, it says the beast was given a mouth. So you have this empire that rises up, and then it got its representative, poster boy, with a mouth to speak. Now, what if that mouth speaking is the little horn? I maintain that it is. And if Donald Trump is a little horn, that means the end time beast was given the mouth of Donald Trump to speak great things. Great. The word is great. It's right there, folks. Great. This is great. We're making America great. Trump likes to say great a lot. He likes to say other words, but great is one of his favorites. It's on the hat. And the beast was given a mouth. This beast was given a representative, i.e. the little horn, to speak great things and blasphemies, and was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. So if Donald Trump is a little horn, then between now and at some point in the future, we're going to see something rise up, an empire, a conglomeration, an assembly, a coalition of nations that will rise up for some reason. It could be because of the aftermath of war, or it could be because of a financial crisis and they need a leader. I don't know. I'm still searching, but I'm sharing this with you. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. Now, when it says it was granted to him to make war, is it talking about the mouthpiece, the representative of the beast? Is it talking about the beast? Or is it talking about the dragon who gave authority to all of these? But it was granted to some, one of these creatures, and I believe that it was given to Satan. Satan through either the beast or the little horn. But it was granted to Satan, and then through his puppets, to make war with the saints. And, now watch this, folks, to overcome them. I said all of that to get to this. It was granted to him, the devil, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now, when we look at that word, to make war with the saints, it means that it has been determined and God is going to allow it. God is going to allow demonic darkness to include war with you. Now, please don't get sidetracked with, well, who's doing the war? Is it the leader? Is it the mouthpiece? Is it the little horn? Is it the Antichrist? Is it the Pope? Who's doing the war? Let's set that aside for a moment. In the big picture, it says Satan gave authority to the beast. So Satan is the head of all of this, this little project that God's allowing. God will allow this project. Just like he allowed Babylon to rise up, and just like he equipped Nebuchadnezzar to become a king so that he can punish and refine Israel, his people. In the same way, God's going to do it again. He's going to allow the enemy, Satan, to get a pawn, a kingdom, a leader, to refine and purge God's people. Now, to make war with the saints, Satan will be given authority to make war. And to lose the war? No, it says overcome them. Overcome them. That means win with some of them. So some of the people that experience the attack in this period of time will succumb. They'll lose. Now, what kind of attacks are we talking about? This is what's very important, folks. When we start looking at the end time template, we would need to spend months and months or years to find all the references of the end times in the Bible. And we can find it everywhere because it's open and plain in some passages, like in Matthew 24. When we look at the template, we begin to see that it's going to take place in several categories. It's going to take place in the physical realm as well as the spiritual realm. We just talked about that. It's a prison for demons. Those demons have been given an assignment. And we read here in Revelation, he was given authority to make war with the saints. War will be declared against the saints. When we go to Daniel chapter 7, 25, it says that the little horn will wear out the saints, wear down the saints, wear them out continually because he's going to be powered by Satan. Let me ask you this, folks. How many of you are getting tired and worn out right now with a continual barrage of Trump insanity? How many of you are getting worn out? You know, every day there's something. Just more and more. It never ends. Over and over and over. His boasting, his behavior, his attacks, his bullying. It wears me out. I don't like to hear it, but it's never ending. See, folks, this is why I continue to have him on the table. Wearing down the saints, but we're just getting started. If he's the guy, we're just getting started. Because Jesus said a great deception's coming. In Thessalonians, we see that God's going to send a strong delusion. We just read in Isaiah there's going to be great darkness, gloom. People will hunger. In Revelation 9, we see that the locusts are loosed on the earth. The locusts, demon creatures, are out there ravaging the earth. We look at Psalms 91 and it talks about the pestilence. You know, and then by night you have the destroyer walking in judgment, and we need to find the secret place of God. So there are entities. The destroyer will be allowed to walk amongst us, folks. And while he's doing this, he's going to make war with you. Now, here's where we are at the moment. We're at the beginning of this. And as I'm trying to warn, it's going to get worse. And this is what I want. You know, I've presented a lot of stuff here, but this is what I want to leave you with. When we look at the words of Jesus, you know, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? Why did Jesus say that? You ever thought about that, folks? Why? What kind of question is that? Will he find faith on the earth? Why? Here's why, folks. Now, I'm going to present something, and I want to ask you to please hear me out on this. Please pay attention, because this is so important. And in order to explain it, I'm going to use an example of comparing how it used to be. If you've been a Christian long enough, I've been one for 35 years, I can remember how easy it was to be a Christian in the 80s. I remember how easy it was. It was great. It was easy to pray. It was easy to feel the presence of God. I'd go into my room and pray, and in 5 minutes, I was overwhelmed with the anointing of God. It was so beautiful. I could go to church. God was there. In my car, I'd throw in a cassette with Keith Green, and Lord is My Shepherd would start playing in 30 seconds. The anointing of God's in my car. It was great. It was easy. You remember that, folks? You go to a church and worship, and you left feeling just great, clean, pure. The crud of the world fell off. But now, have you noticed that it takes more effort? I've been talking about this, and I've mentioned it several times in the past, because some of you have written me and said this to me. It takes more effort to break through, or you can't break through at all. The heavens are brass. Your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. You can't feel God. It's harder. And some of you are really getting concerned about this because you're wondering, what are you doing wrong? Where's God? Did he abandon you? What happened? Now, I'm not trying to be discouraging, but I hope that if you can get a hold of what I'm going to say right now, it will help you. It will benefit you. When Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? As a Christian, when a child of God faces a trial or something difficult, they say a prayer. God, I'm worried about losing my job. And in the old days, I remember this. You say a prayer and then the peace of God comes on you so that even though you're facing it, you have peace still to go through it. And it was easy getting that peace. So the thing that carried me and a lot of people, and even you, if you can remember this, the thing that supported you and held you up was the peace of God. And if you have the peace of God, you can face anything, right, folks? But what if? What if you faced the same trial and challenge without the peace of God? Would it have been as easy? No, it wouldn't. Because by ourselves, it's a lot more difficult. The stress is there. The peace of God takes away stress. In spite of the mountain and the obstacles, you know that God's going to be there because you can feel his presence of peace. Fast forward to now. I'm noticing that as the darkness has been coming over the country in incremental steps, in 2012, I mentioned, we had an event, we turned a corner. During the campaign, 2015, it got darker. 2016, the election happened. Boy, did it get dark. And then now, it is dark. It's dark. We're in the first few hours of darkness, and a lot more hours remain, folks. Even days of darkness remain. Possibly months of darkness or years. We just entered this season. And what I'm noticing is that a lot of individuals, let me qualify who's facing what. Now, when we look into the scriptures, Jesus in Matthew 25, he talks about the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise, because 5 had their oil and their lamps in. The others didn't. Why didn't they? Somehow they were influenced to think that everything was okay. And I consider those people to be the dominionist New Apostolic Reformation, NAR, Mark Taylor types, that are telling their people that dominion is going to be taken by the church and there's going to be a renaissance with the church in America and it's going to be glowing and great. So there's a segment of the church that is being lied to right now. And those people, because they're hearing these lies, are not going to have oil in their lamps. And instead, they are believing a delusion. So one hand is the foolish virgins. they will go to the marketplace. Uh-oh, I got to go get oil. And they'll go get it. And then they'll come to the groom and start banging on the door. And he'll say, why didn't you have oil? I never knew you. I didn't even know you the whole time. So these are Christians who go to church and are pretending. They're going to church for the wrong reason. They have a conversion that's not real. They have an intellectual version of Christianity. It's not in their heart. It's not in their soul. It's not in their spirit. The words are not from the inside. They have not been sealed by God. And then you have the remnant who does have oil in their lamps. Now, these two groups we see represented and talked about in parables in different ways by Jesus. In the way I just presented, it's the virgins, 10 virgins. But Jesus also talked about the wheat and the tares. So in the field, we have imposters and then the real ones. Again, some are fakers. Now, he didn't tell us the ratio then, but I venture to guess if we can use the same ratio as the virgins, at least half of the planted wheat is not really wheat. They're going to be bundled up and thrown into the fire. So we have that. And then we have the other description of the sheep and the goats. Again, I never knew you. So in the camp of the evangelical church in America, we have people who call themselves evangelicals, and they are promoting Donald Trump, and they are dismissing the actions of Donald Trump, who is behaving like we read in the scriptures of the Antichrist, little horn. Proud, boastful, hater. I read it in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All those things I read in the last days, they would behave this way, is how Donald Trump behaves. So there is no way, my friend, if you're a Donald Trump supporter, according to Timothy, those character traits are unacceptable in the eyes of God. And if they are unacceptable, it says, turn away. From these, turn away. You're not supposed to marry light and dark, oil and water. It doesn't mix. So if a person dismisses those things and is okay with them, then I have to question their love for the truth. I have to question their love for the Word of God and the amount of light that is in their heart, as I read in Isaiah, because they go to wizards because there's no light in them. Nathan, are you saying that I don't have a light because I believe in Donald Trump? I am saying that there's a lot of people supporting Donald Trump that are dismissing things prohibited in Scripture. Proverbs 16:12 says, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. If a king commits wickedness, it's an abomination. Trump commits wickedness, and the church is clapping. That's an abomination. Proverbs 17:15, he that justifies the wicked, and he that condemns the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. To justify the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 17:15. And I get emails from people justifying the wickedness of Trump. They call me wicked and they condemn me for pointing it out. Well, I just read to you what God feels about it. When people write me, if you want to write me and gripe me out because I am exposing Trump and pointing out that Trump is behaving wickedly, let me read it again. He that justifies the wicked and condemns the just is an abomination. So if you want to be an abomination to the Lord, then go ahead and send me hate mail for pointing out the things Trump does. Go ahead. God will record it in heaven. You'll answer to him. This is the word of God, folks. Why is it happening, though? In one hand, the evangelicals are believing the Mark Taylor false prophecies that everything's great. The hand that is believing that is the hand that is following a delusion. Satan is going to make war with the saints. Satan's going to make war with the people of God, or people who call themselves Christians. Satan has been given authority to make war with everybody. Now, if you take all evangelicals, whether they believe in Trump or not, all of them, Satan is making war with them. And Satan is going to attack a portion of them with delusion and lies. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, because Scripture proves it, those NAR, Kingdom Now, Dominionist prophecies are part of the great delusion. Jesus said, false prophets will rise up and deceive many. They will say, I am the Christ. I am following Christ. I am of Christ and deceive many. I am anointed. They'll deceive many. So you have deception occurring to a portion of the flock. And in the flock, you may have sheep and goats. But the ones that do not value the Scripture are being attacked with delusion. Because they had no love for the truth, they will believe a lie. So a portion of those who attend megachurches are believing lies right now. Now that's one portion. That's how Satan got them. He's deceived them. They're under delusion. So when you talk to your friends and you try to understand how can you follow him when he's so anathema to the word of God, when he is so contrary to what we know is right and wrong, how can you follow him? And if they just look at you, if they get mad or their eyes glaze over and they give you the excuse that, well, America's going to be great, great, quote unquote, and the mouth was speaking great things. So there's a delusion that is taking place in your friend. I don't know how else to say it. If people cannot see the truth, they're under delusion. Folks, I'm using the scriptures. A portion of God's people are going to fall to delusion. And that's what I believe is taking place with that portion. Now, what about the other hand? The wise virgins. What about them? If you have oil in your lamp, and if God is the most important thing to you, you have not succumbed to this patriotic, nationalistic fervor that is hypnotizing well-meaning people. If you have not succumbed to that, and you are lamenting and weeping and crying over this mess of America, then you're in the other hand. And praise God you are. However, there's another sort of attack that is striking the other side. The people that are against Trump are being attacked. But the attack is not in the same manner. The attack is not with delusion. Instead, the attack is old-fashioned, one-on-one oppression from demons that are bringing with them. Okay, remember I mentioned perilous times will come? Evil will come? Remember I said that, folks? Those spirits that have come to Babylon, Babylon's become a cage of demons. Those spirits are attacking God's people now with hopelessness because they see the darkness. And I think there's a chance, my friend, that if you're listening to this message, you're a regular listener and you've been lamenting over what's been going on, there's a chance that you have been under the attack of oppression, depression, discouragement, sadness, hopelessness, temptation to give up on your faith, to give up on God, to just take the blue pill and go back and just go to sleep because it's just too overwhelming. And then let me include the other one. There's a chance that you have been hearing voices in your head or thoughts in your head telling you it's not worth it anymore. Why not just die? It would be easier to just kill yourself. Thoughts of suicide. Demons are telling people this. Demons are telling God's remnant, elect, these thoughts. And I know it's true, folks, because I've been told. I've been contacted. I have spoken to so many people that are hearing these thoughts. They say, Nathan, I hear the voice saying, just kill yourself. It's not worth it. And it makes no sense, but I'm hearing it. Out of the blue, I hear it. And the reason that people are hearing this is because demon creatures are fluttering about in the invisible realm, and they flutter to God's people, to God's elect, and they try to catch them in a moment when they are not their best, when they're tired, when they're sick, when they're stressing, discouraged, and they'll land on their shoulder, you know, like a black invisible crow, and they start whispering into their ear, just kill yourself. This is not worth it. It's better to die. Ladies and gentlemen, I never thought I would see or experience a moment in time where the elect of God who love God very much would consider suicide. I never thought it, but it's happening right now. And the only way that this can be explained is to acknowledge that we have entered the end times. We have entered a segment of time at the very end, and we're watching biblical prophecy take place. We are in the chapter of darkness. And that darkness is not just dark where it feels gloomy. That darkness includes the creepy crawlers fluttering about that are the enemies of your soul and want to kill you. My friend, if you've been having those thoughts, you are being lied to. It's not true. Now, when we consider the virgins without their light and then the virgins with their light, the only way to be able to make sense of this mess and to navigate through it is to have the light of God's word and to have an association and a closeness to him. Now, when we look at Revelation 12, the previous chapter, it says, they overcame him, the enemy, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame. Nathan, I don't know what to do. You need to overcome. How? How do I do that? By the blood. Number one, first, blood means repentance. You see, if sin is not dealt with and we have closet sins or secret sins or compartmentalized sin or sin that we hide or have in the bottom drawer or in the closet or wherever, sin will open the door to these fluttering creatures. So step one, my friend, what do? We deal with sin because then the devil does not have a foothold, a stranglehold, a stumbling block. a reason to put a chain around your neck or your leg or your arm. Repentance, my friends. They overcame by the blood. Jesus washed me. And I'm not just talking about words that sound good and flowery. I'm talking about words from your heart where you are sick of that darkness that you have allowed in your life, the sin, where you're tired of participating in those things. So that's one of the steps. And the other one is the word of their testimony. The word of our testimony is the word of God, my friends. It's the Bible. We have to hide the word of God in our hearts. David said, "Thy word I have hid in my heart so that I do not sin against thee." The word of God is our light. The word of God is our navigating compass. It's our rudder. It's our sail. It's our light. It lights our path. It keeps us from believing lies. It keeps us out of delusion. The word of God. The word of God is also our weapon. It's our sword of the Spirit. To say, "It is written, Satan." No, I am not worthless. Because while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. God called me. The Holy Spirit showed up. He met me because he cared about me. And he saw that I was a soul that he died for. You are his creation, my friend. You're his workmanship created for good works in Christ. You have been called to come out of Egypt, to be his child. You have the right to call out to him, "Abba, Father, rescue me." So there are two types of warfare going on right now, folks. On one hand, we have the great delusion, and we're watching it in real time. You see it in real time. So this thing, ladies and gentlemen, is a spiritual thing taking place. And it's very dark. It's very powerful. It's very evil in the delusion side. On the other side, if you are of the elect of God and you love Jesus, Satan has also been given authority to attack the saints, to wear down the saints, to make war with the saints. We have what I mentioned, the blood of the Lamb and the Word, the Bible. But meanwhile, my friend, meanwhile, I want you to know this, that Satan does not want you to win. He wants you to lose your health, your faith. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to give up. It is in those times when a person gets to the point where maybe you're sick. And you know when you're sick or you're tired, you're sleepy, or your health is challenging, it's not as easy to pray through. It's not. Because praying through takes effort. So when you're feeling weary and drained and worn out and you can't pray, then what do you have left? What do you have to rely on? And here's what it is, folks. The foundation of survival and endurance is old-fashioned faith. That's where you are determined. You are committed. Even though you can say, "God, I don't feel you, but I know you're there, and I'm just going to believe. I believe you're there because you said you would never leave me or forsake me." And folks, that kind of determination and commitment is what faith is. It's believing in what you can't see, but you believe because you know that you know that you know it's there, that he's there, that he's not going to abandon you. And no matter how dark it is, "God, I'm having these thoughts of committing suicide, God. Why? I don't want to have that. I have been bought with a price." That's faith, folks. Old-fashioned faith. And in the midst of darkness, faith with the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. So you have to, you must read the scriptures, and you must get a hold of the scriptures and hide them in your heart so that whenever you are discouraged, you can quote the Bible. You can open the Bible and read it and say, "God, I don't know how you're going to rescue me. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but your word here says this." And you read it and you tell him, "God, I just believe you're going to do it." That's faith, my friend. So when we look at what I referenced a moment ago, when the Son of Man returns to earth, will he find faith on the earth? Will he? Will he find people hiding themselves at that rural farm in Nebraska or that house in Wyoming, down in Arizona, in the middle of Texas? When he looks down there, will he find that person enduring and hanging in there, even though they're in pain, even though they're scared, even though they're confused, even though they don't know why everything's happening? But he sees that they're still committed to him. And they say, "No matter what, I'm not going to fall for the ways of Babylon. I'm not going to follow the lies of Babylon. I'm not going to follow what I know is wrong. I refuse to soil myself with that." When the Son of Man returns to earth, will he find faith on the earth?
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message, and I ask, God, that you would let the words help and encourage those who are out there, people who are being distraught and overcome and overwhelmed with thoughts of self-destruction and suicide from the enemy. God, I ask you to just pull them out of the mire of heartache, of sadness, of discouragement, and show them that you are the answer. It's going to be okay, that they're not the only ones, that this is the season we're in. God, show them and reveal to them and encourage them. Give them victory. Bring them encouragement. Surround them with your angels and strengthen them with your spirit. And I thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Folks,
before we leave, I need to share something with you that is very important, but it's not easy to tell you, my friends, because, well, there's a lot of people out there that don't like this ministry. And some of them would probably be very happy to hear this information, but that's okay because the faithful listeners that are out there are part of the Watchman's Cry family, and I want to let you know what's going on. And here's what it is. As I have continued to speak the truth and bring disclosures to you, a very sad thing has occurred to this ministry. And it appears that about half or maybe even more, 60 to 70% of the Watchman's Cry audience has gone elsewhere. They have gone over to the Trump camp, to the other side. Some of them are listening from afar. Some have taken a step back because they're not sure. Some people are scratching their head. They're confused. Some are on the fence. Some don't know who to believe because they haven't been able to apply the time to study what I've tried to say. But nevertheless, a lot of them have left. And for reasons that we have talked about, they're gone. And as a result, 60 to 70% of our support is also gone. And that means that the support that we relied on to continue these messages has fled. Now, ladies and gentlemen, friends, brethren, I don't want to whine to you. I don't want to beg you, because after all, that would be horrible and pathetic. But I want to appeal to you. And if you've been a part of the Watchman's Cry family long enough, we've been through a lot together. I've had ups and downs in the past. I went through a fire a few years ago. I've had a few health issues, and likewise, Donna has had her turn. But through it all, many of you have been there with us. You were with us to support us. You were there to encourage. You were there to offer remedies, and you were there to offer your help. Many of you pitched in where you could, and I appreciate that. And by doing so, you have shown your love and your support. It has also revealed that you believe in what we're doing. So I need to make an appeal once again. We need your help. And when I say we, I mean Donna and I. Because some of our largest faithful supporters have gone somewhere else at the moment. And I say at the moment because I believe at some point when there's smoke on the horizon, they're going to be back. They'll come back. And I'm praying that God will open the eyes of his people. So I believe it's going to happen. Because things are on the horizon that are coming. And it's going to open a lot of eyes and prove that the warnings that I have been sharing are valid. But in the meantime, our support is way down, and because some of the good folks who used to love Watchman's Cry are exploring the confusion out there, they're not supporting us. And I didn't want to have to do this, folks. I didn't want to have to make an appeal for help, but I don't know what else to do because over the last several months, the gifts of support have been reduced to almost nothing. And when I say almost nothing, I mean, well, let me just tell you the number. We're receiving right now only about 20 to 30 offerings a month. And as a result of this, we're several months behind in our bills. And my friends, I don't want to have to be worrying about those things. I don't want to be distracted because I have a job to do. So I want to make an appeal to all of you to help us turn this around. And with your help, we can. We can do it. I believe it, folks. Many of you are faithful and you're loyal and you have a heart. So I believe that with your help, with the help of the faithful Watchman's Cry family, we can do this. We can get it done. In addition to we can get it done, we have to get it done. We have to, folks, because otherwise I don't know what I'm going to do. So I want to ask you to look into your hearts and help us. Now, this is not a health emergency, but it is a financial emergency. It's been wearing me down and it's been making Donna weary. Right now, we're about 3 to 4 months behind on our bills. So I need to appeal to you, in the Watchman's Cry family. We really need your help, folks, and if you could see the amount of concern that I have about this, under the shell of the voice that you're hearing right now is a person that is very concerned, and I don't know if worry is the right word, because people say you're not supposed to worry as a Christian. Well, whatever the word is, that's what's on my heart for the future of this ministry and for this effort that we're doing. And by the way, it was an inner struggle and battle trying to decide if I should share this. I didn't know if I should tell you because, well, there's some folks out there who dislike us and would gloat over this. They would be glad to hear this, and perhaps they will rejoice. But that's okay, because if they choose to rejoice over this, I guess then it's on them. And besides, this ministry is not about a manufactured brand of invincibility, because I'm not invincible, folks. I'm feeble. I struggle with health issues. I deal with persecution regularly. Donna, God bless her, regularly dodges darts and arrows and blows from the opposition. So, long story short, I want to ask those of you who can to please help us pull out of this dip so that we can move forward to prepare and get equipped for the next chapter that's coming. Because a lot of things are coming, folks. And I know that a lot of you love this ministry. You love Watchman's Cry. And if you knew that we were struggling like this, some of you would have helped us a long time ago. I know you would. But I don't like to have to burden you with this sort of thing, because I know that a lot of you have your own struggles and things that you're dealing with. But the time has come for me to tell you, because I don't want to stop doing this, folks. I don't. So help me continue this work, my friends. Now, if some of you are asking, well, how bad is it, Nathan? Well, let's just say this. I'm believing for a miracle. And I know that God can do it with your help. And I also know that there's probably a few of you out there that could write a check and pull us out of this hole very easily. So if you're out there, and as the Holy Spirit prompts your hearts, I pray that those of you who have been blessed in this life can help us. I know that with your help, we can pull out of this. So this is my SOS signal. And for those of you who are going to answer my plea, I want to thank you in advance. And I do it humbly with tears, because I appreciate those of you that care about us. And I appreciate those of you who show it. Donna appreciates it. She's had a lot of tears lately, but I don't want her to have tears. I want her to be able to focus on what she's doing. So thank you for the love that some of you are going to send us to help this ministry. And folks, helping us to continue this does result in changed lives. It helps us to encourage those who are battling for their lives. So it makes a difference, and your help contributes to this difference that we're making. Okay, my friends? Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website, watchmanscry.com. There's a link for PayPal, and you can click it and help us there. All right, folks, again, thank you. Thanks for listening to this program. Please share it. I pray that those of you that can would take my appeal to heart. And may the Lord touch you, and may the Lord bless you and keep you safe. God bless you, folks. We love you. Take care. Until next time, bye-bye.